ready, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Start with roll call. Zach Rodriguez.
Here.
Laura Belsky is excused. Mark Nordigan.
Present.
I won't try to say Nordigan.
That's good, because that's not it either.
Aaron Decker. John Franco.
Here.
Jeff Humboldt.
Here.
And I see Michael is here.
Here.
Mike Babu. Angelina may have a conflict, but if she gets here, we'll say hello. Okay? So thank you all for being here, and we'll press forward. First, I want to say welcome to Michael. Michael Babu and Angelina, if she makes it tonight. It's great having youth in government to be a part of this. Going through the interview process, I was very impressed with the presence that Michael brought to the table, and I'm very excited that you're on this committee.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll do an exceptional job, so that would be wonderful. I do want to take a moment and kind of introduce everybody. Mm-hmm. So if I give you a minute to say a little bit about yourself, not the same thing you said at the board meeting, but tell us who you are and a little bit about your backstory, because he has a very impressive resume and things that you're interested in, and then everybody will introduce themselves for a moment.
Hi everyone, my name is Michael Babu. I'm a junior at the grade, well, school just ended, I'm a senior now. I'm a senior at the Prairie School. Last year I was in youth and governance. I served on the Joint Services Committee, and I had a lot of fun. It was a very informative experience. I learned a lot about Washington County government, how it works. Very excited to be on judiciary and law this time. And I'd like to learn more about the workings of this committee, what everyone does, and how it affects the greater Washington County area.
And Angelina has made it, so
come on down.
What I just asked is if you take a moment to introduce yourself a little bit to the team, and then we'll do the same and reciprocate. Tell a little bit about us. Okay.
Hi, my name is Angelina Lagunas. I go to Renford High School, and I like to draw and write. I have an interest in becoming an attorney in the future.
Good. What grade are you in?
I'm in 11th. I'm soon to be.
Now you're 11th or going into 11th?
I'm going to be a senior.
Okay.
So now I'm in 11th.
Matriculating up point. So, Jeff.
I'm Jeff Wambold. I represent District 18. I'm the mentor for you two, and I'm happy you're here. I was glad to meet you and speak with you a few weeks ago. I look forward to talking more with you. I am married, have a couple of kids who are grown and out of the house, and I am currently on the legislative committee and this committee here, so welcome.
I'm Erin Decker, County Board Vice Chair. I represent District 22 in the county, which is Western Kenosha County, part of it Wheatland, a little bit of Randall, parts of Salem Lakes, a little bit of Brighton. So that's the area I represent, and that's about it. I've been on the county board for, since 2010. Did you have an older brother?
I do have an older
was
brother.
Was he in youth and governance several years ago?
He was not. I have an older sister who
okay.
was. She
okay.
was in the committee.
Okay, yeah. Your sister was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zach Rodriguez, District 8, which is like the south central part of town, Lincoln neighborhood, parts of uptown, and parts of the Sunnyside neighborhoods. This is the only committee I'm on, and I've been on the county board about 5 years now. So, and when I first started, believe it or not, for you two, I think every county board member and all the staff thought I was a youth and governance. So you might pass for a county board supervisor. If you do, roll with it. So.
I'm Brian Bashaw, District 19, so west of the I. I'm on this BDEC and Broadband Commission. Had the opportunity to do the interview session, so really enjoyed that and getting to know both of you a little bit there, and we look forward to your participation here, so thank you.
Mark Norian, County Board Supervisor, District 21, out west, right next to 22, Salem Lakes, Randall, Twin Lakes, parts of, and currently chair of the Public Works Commission, or County Works Committee, Public Works Committee. Oh, it's been a long day. Michael was my mentee last year under judiciary and law, and I encourage him to perform here as he did there. He did very, very well in Angeles. So, you know, they just involve themselves in the meeting, ask questions. They say there are no dumb questions. And at this level and in government, that's absolutely true. So ask questions. And if you have any statements, too, we do want to hear from you. We do want to hear. Thank you.
John Franco, I represent District 13, which is out west, sort of straddles the city and the county. I serve on this committee, PDEC and Finance, and I've been on the county board since 2016. Welcome to the club.
Supervisor Belsky is on vacation, and Alyssa is our support coordinator, so you'll get lots of emails from her. What that was like,
Every month.
So, well, thank you and welcome, and we'll keep going forward. So, citizen comments, any citizen wish to speak? If you join us at the table, that would be wonderful.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. My name is Linda Spaulding. I live in, I think it's District 5.
Address for the record.
What do you need
yes.
for me?
Yes, address for the record, please.
Okay, 3023 25th Street, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53144. Just a very brief comment here. I strongly encourage this committee to rethink the time that they're meeting, because there are people who would like to attend and can't because they're working. So I strongly encourage this committee to rethink moving the meeting, or encourage them to move the meeting to 6 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizen wish to speak?
Hi, I'm Gail Clark Taylor, 7624 18th Avenue. Zach, I'd like to compliment you on your statement about operating in the sunshine at a county board meeting back in May. I thought it was an excellent framework to how to think about transparency and the reason for many people wanting this meeting scheduled after 6 p.m. But that same night, the majority of the supervisors voted against the resolution to have the meetings be scheduled after 6 p.m. I'd like to give you all the benefit of the doubt that your reasons for voting against the resolution was in the details and the language and things along those lines. And I want to believe that you really believe in the measure, the concept of being transparent by scheduling meetings in the evenings. And I'd like to see this evidenced by the future meetings of this group being scheduled at 6 p.m. And I'd also look forward to a reintroduced resolution for the purpose of codifying and making this change very public and above board. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizen wish to speak? Any other citizen wish to speak? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. We'll move on to supervisor comments. Any supervisor comments? Silence is golden. Sometimes gold is just silence. Thank you. So we'll move on to chairman comments. As you've already noted, the chairman of the Kenosha County Board has adapted the structure of a number of committees, including judiciary and law, with Supervisor Rodriguez and I essentially switching roles. In doing so, I'm no longer serving on the finance committee as a chair of a standing committee. I cannot also be on the finance team, which is to a degree unfortunate because I've enjoyed that immensely. As chair of judiciary and law, I'd like to first say thank you to Supervisor Rodriguez, who is vice chair now of this committee, for his service as chair, and I wish to continue his work on this committee in a productive and substantive manner. So thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. I would ask that you please submit requests for agenda items timely, such that we can accommodate the agenda and provide adequate notice to any individual or department which will be required to support an agenda item. So Alyssa knows I asked to put something on this week and then said not enough time for folks to prepare for it, so I'd ask the same of everyone here. I also wish to address meeting times for judiciary and law enforcement. As you know, this is a hotly debated topic. However, J-Law has historically met after 6 p.m., consistent with all other standing board committees. As the June meeting for J-Law was already anticipated at 4:15, I kept it at that time, We are meeting here today consistent with that understanding. However, going forward, all normal or customary meetings of the committee will be at 6 o'clock p.m. If, however, there is a special meeting, off-site requirement, or other modifications to the schedule, all will be duly notified per our ordinance. It's my hope and anticipation that the 6 p.m. meeting time will provide reasonable opportunity for all who wish to attend this committee's meetings and to reasonably recognize our YIG members' obligations as students. And I understand it's a good drive and creates a little bit of a hardship to be here quickly. I'm very happy to have Ms. Lagunas and Mr. Babu join us on this committee. I was privileged to be a part of their interview and selection process of our youth and governance candidates this year, and I'm impressed by both, as they are outstanding individuals with an impressive resume already. I look forward to our YIG members to be active members of this committee and to freely contribute to the discussion. Seriously, actively contribute is a big part of it. Your comments are very, very valuable to us. I invite both to consider a topic area of interest which you are passionate about and to consider being on the agenda at a future meeting to present. I personally have received several letters from students discussing drug abuse, reckless driving, safety concerns that they have. Perhaps one of those subjects might be of interest to you or something else. I look forward to hearing your perspectives and insights and to your contributions to this committee and our work going forward. Also going forward, it would be my intention to have at least one update presentation at each of our meetings related to the various areas which J-Law has oversight. This includes the Sheriff or Law Enforcement, Jails and Corrections, Office of the Clerks of Court, Office of the DA, and Juvenile Intake. Items that I'd be looking to hear about would include budget review, activities updates, or status updates regarding the department or divisions. In other words, what they're working on or opportunities for improvement. Any ongoing needs or issues which the committee should be aware of, update on any core strategies or initiatives which have been or are planned for, and wins and recognitions of success that we should be aware of. It's my intention to maintain ongoing dialogue with this committee throughout the year, avoiding any surprises come budget season, or to at least to mitigate surprises wherever possible. This is where I did make an ask that maybe they would come and present DARE in the update there, because a lot of celebrations going on right now. I thought it'd be a great time to hear, but the notice was a little bit short, and there's still a lot of ongoing activity with graduations and things like that, so postponed it, but we'll come back around to it. It's my intent to have a tempo such that everybody comes and meets with us on a routine basis, and like I said, avoid any surprises when we get to budget season. Fair enough. We'll move on to the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Move to approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
Supervisor Nordigan and Supervisor Franco second. Any discussion on the minutes? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
And against? Thank you. So the motion passes. Thank you.
Can I make
minutes
a point? Do you mind if I do
not? Sir, you may.
Can you explain to the Youth and Governance how you're going to want them to vote, if it's before, after, at the same time, just so they're aware?
My mental intention is to have them vote first, okay, so that you're not all influencing them. Like I said, my mental intention doesn't always keep up with my mouth.
Okay.
So I will ask generally for your vote first. If I don't, but hey, wait a minute, what about us? Your votes are not technically compelling. In other words, they don't affect the outcome, but they are compelling in that we want to know your voice. Okay, so thank you. So let's move on to number 7, a resolution to approve the appointment of Chief Colin Hennessy to the Kenosha County Joint Services Board. And I've been asked to introduce this tonight. Chief Hennessy, I saw you here.
Yep. Do you want me to join?
Yes, sir. Please. I like the historic approach that this committee has, that anybody that's up for appointment comes and we have an opportunity to have a conversation with you, ask any questions, and you ask questions of us if you have them, but we'd like to get you to know you a little bit.
Sure.
Chief Hennessy is in my district in Paris, and John speaks very, very highly of you, and I appreciate what you do. So the resolution is to approve the appointment of Colin Hennessy to serve on the Kenosha Joint Services Board. This is put forward by
executive.
This is by the exec. I thought so. Chief Hennessy has a long history of service and is well reputed. As I mentioned, the chair of Harris County Board, John Holloway, speaks extremely highly of him. I've had opportunity to speak with Chief Hennessy on multiple occasions, and I put him forward to you now. So, any questions of the board?
Move to approve.
Second.
He'll be succeeding Joshua Barker.
Yes.
So, okay.
Correct. Any questions? Discussion? Chief Hennessy, anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm good. I appreciate everything. Hoping the opportunity works well for both the counties and the city.
Should work out very, very well. So I'm glad to have you there. So youth and governance, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Ayes. And for the board, ayes.
Aye.
Any nays? Resolution carries. Chief Hennessy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Another voluntary position. Move on to item 8, the resolution to approve the appointment of Andrew Miner to serve as a member of the Kenosha County Local Emergency Management Committee.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Sergeant Chris Hanna here. I'm presenting resolution for appointment by County Executive Kirkman in regards to Andrew Miner, who is present here today on the Local Emergency Planning Committee. This will be the 9th appointment recently to this committee. Mr. Miner does fill a needed role representing the APCRA facilities that report tier 2 reports to Kenosha County Emergency Management and the LEPC. So we will have a voice in that and what is reported and talking about those reports at the LEPC. This is a 3-year term that will expire in April of 2026 if it's not extended.
Any questions?
Can you explain what the EPCRA is?
The EPCRA is through FEMA. It is the regulatory authority for hazardous materials. It came about through India, I believe in the 80s, maybe as early as the 70s. I can't remember the exact timeline. They had a hazardous material spill with mass casualties from a chemical release. And these rules, and that's where the LEPC came from in the United States.
Bhopal, India, I think it was.
Correct.
God, I'm old.
I was just going to say.
You were going to say he was old?
I was going to say, kind of dates you.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve and seconded. Any further discussion?
I'm just looking at this. Do you live in Kenosha County?
I do not, no.
Is that a requirement?
It is not a requirement because he's representing a business that is in Kenosha County that reports to Kenosha County.
Okay.
Specialized training, I see, HAZWOP and a couple other things.
Yeah.
Is this what you do for Rust-Oleum?
I'm the plant director at our facility here in Pleasant Prairie. For about the last 2 years, but have about 30 years of experience in paint and chemicals. So I've been at it for a little while.
Time goes awfully quick, so could have started last week. Any other discussion? Put it to a vote. Youth and government?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And the committee?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes unanimously. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
We'll put you to work. Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not.
And we'll move on to item number 9, a resolution in support of memorandum of understanding between Kenosha County Sheriff Department, Village of Pleasant Prairie, Police Department, City of Kenosha Police Department, and the Village of Twin Lakes Police Department.
Good afternoon. This resolution is in regards to the multi-agency crash team. This is a team that has been in a lot of our thoughts over my past 30 years. This team is comprised of all of the agencies that were mentioned in the resolution. So each agency contributes members to this team. This organization, the Major Crash Assistance Team, then provides training and coordinates major crash investigations for each of the member agencies. We've been operating, testing it out, per se, for about the past 3 months, and it is an amazing success. Typically, before this crash team started, if an agency was affected with a major crash or a fatality crash, it took up, for the Sheriff's Department example, it would take up 2/3 of our patrolmen at a crash scene. With this crash team, we might send 2 people to block traffic and 1 person to do the report, and the crash team members come in with their training and expertise and handle all of the technical crash investigation, including photography, measurement, and vehicle documentation. So they don't take over the whole accident, the whole crash. I hate calling them accidents. I like calling them crashes now because that's what they are. So these trained people come in, take over a crash scene, do all the technical on-scene evidence collection and measurement. They then package that up with reports from all the members on their own report forms and turn that information over to the affected agents. So the hard part and the technical part of crash investigation is done completely in cooperation with all the other agencies in the county that are involved. I'm on the board that got this started. And we tested it out a couple times, and the product that we received from the technical product that we received for the investigations that this team conducted was amazing. Nothing like we've ever had before when it comes to crash investigation. So the plan is to have each agency train a staff member as high as they can go with the Northwestern crash investigation training. There's 5 different levels. We have 1 person at a 3, so we have a couple guys that need to. We want all of the members of this to at least go up to level 2, so they'll be able to professionally and to professionally investigate these crash scenes. And like I said, the product is amazing. It's not costing us really much of anything besides the time that we would spend anyways on these crashes.
Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What's the optimal amount of trained personnel, say in the county? That's the only one that we have. And then, of course, then you have Pleasant Prairie and Twin Lakes as well. Because I'm sure it's not one person just coming to do it. You'll have a few people that'll go to a major crash investigation.
So currently, how we have our membership set up is there is 1 detective he's the one that's going to be the most trained. Mm-hmm. And then I think we're at 5 or 6 people that are going to be at least a level 2. So, and one of the nice things about this team is they were able to, Pleasant Prairie has done a ton of work on this. They're the ones that brought it to all of us, and they were able to arrange it so the International Association of Chiefs of Police is going to sponsor a Northwestern class for free for our crash. So that's going to save us $1,200 a person to get everybody up to a level 2. So not only is it a group of staff that love doing these type of investigations. It gets them all together. They're able to coordinate training. We put on little trainings. Our drone units, each department's drone units are involved, and we use the drones for photography and measurements. So we're right at where we should be, and we're not calling in overtime every time.
Right. And I guess from what I understand, listening to your position on it, what's making a great success is what we've done so far is we're getting reports well done, thorough, properly investigated, professionally done. We're not using a massive amount of our resources, human resources, to be put out there, personnel. And we can lean on the other agencies that also have this same training when needed. And it sounds like cost benefit is nominal, not even, like you said, we're not pushing that many overtime, if you will, to have other officers and other sheriff's deputies out there.
I mean, we're all splitting it too, you know. We're all helping each other. We're all covering our own staff's contribution money-wise, but the cooperation and the product that we're getting is just outstanding.
Will this become an incentive to move up through the ranks? I mean, is there going to be a certain rank you got to be to get into this?
No.
Or a certain amount of time you had to be on the force to get to these? Obviously, there's level one, level two, all the way up. So I guess to start the first level, there'll be criteria.
Because
that you
the
must
training
meet.
Is so expensive
to
be a crash investigator. Like I said, it's $1,200 for a 2-week school through Northwestern. We want to know that you're going to stay here.
Got it.
And we want to know that you're smart enough to do it.
Yeah.
Because there's math, there's physics involved.
Yeah.
And not necessarily at the level one where you're learning
how
the traffic crash marks. But as you move up, it's a lot.
So none of us couldn't do it except for our youth and governance, who are probably most strong.
You guys could
totally.
Thank you.
Physics still fresh into mind.
Well, maybe Brian could. I don't know.
No. 2 and 2 is 5. I've got that figured out. I was in sales, so.
Jeff. Just real quick, you mentioned savings. Did you estimate what the savings will be to the Sheriff's Department by looking back at maybe other crashes throughout, you know, per year for maybe the last several years, or just even a ballpark?
I have.
Okay. I was just curious if there's going to be a significant savings, or I'm sure there will be a savings. It sounds like a no-brainer.
I don't know how significant it's going to be, but we're actually, law enforcement in this area kind of ebbs and flows as far as the cooperation and how much we like working with each other. This is a team that's going to be here forever, and they will like working with each other. And this cooperation goes up through the sheriff and the chiefs, and it comes back down to the guys working on the road. So just having this team and having other agencies come in and help us, or us going to help other agencies, it means so much. Mm-hmm. Lake County has been doing it for years. They have 50 agencies involved, but they investigate hundreds of major crashes a year. We have we do have statistics on how many we've had in the county, and we average about 18 to 20 fatal crashes. So, you know, we're not used as much as they are, we got MCAT got called out twice in 4 hours this spring. So they just went from one crash to the next one, and it was awesome. Roads are shut down less time. The amount of time it takes for the investigation is reduced by, we estimate, 1 to 2 hours. And when we do a crash like that, the roads are completely shut off. So I haven't seen a negative.
Cool. Hey, thank you. Mr. Butler.
You mentioned you've been trying it out for the past 3 months. So in those 3 months, how many times has the crash team been called out?
I think we're at case number 8 or 9.
Okay.
So it's not just fatals. It could be a criminal drunk driving with severe injuries. There's a criteria list that, so when a crash happens, a supervisor calls a team leader from MCAT, and they have to answer a list of questions. how serious is the crash, who's involved. And then based on that criteria, that team leader decides whether or not they'll come up. So we don't go out on everything, it's just major crashes.
So it is crashes only, though?
Michael's
included?
Okay.
It is just crashes, so it isn't like a stop, you found guns and drugs?
No.
Okay, it was just crash investigation.
What I could see in the future is, if we have a outside homicide scene, we could call in parts of that crash team to do the measurements and document it, especially with the drones. But we have our own drone team that can do that ourselves. So in all of the agencies involved now have drones, and they're amazing.
Was Parks, UW Parkside approached with this?
Yeah.
And they declined, I take it?
Yeah, they don't have enough.
Okay. And then...
And they're rarely affected.
Right.
By major crashes, and if they do, we would likely assist or KPD would assist.
And then just going through the responsibilities, you have what's listed under point C, each agency shall be responsible for wages, salaries, benefits, et cetera, et cetera. But then immediately after that, it says that I assume each agency is also responsible to determine and pay for, where applicable, sick leave, vacation, overtime. Does that mean we're paying the overtime for Pleasant Prairie if we're the ones calling them in?
Each agency is responsible for their own
costs.
Guys.
So if we're assisting Pleasant Prairie and that results in our guys paying overtime, we're on the hook for that?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. And then same question. When it talks about providing a defense, should there be any sort of lawsuits or proceedings, we're only responsible for our deputies, correct?
Correct.
And I think I know what the answer is going to be. City of Kenosha PD, one of their officers does something that leads to a lawsuit on one of our scenes. City of Kenosha is responsible for their defense, not ours. That's, okay.
They're acting under this contract and mutual aid.
Okay.
So.
That's all I have. Thank you.
So what happens if it's a squad crash internally? Like,
we won't handle it.
And then state control comes in?
So Lake County, their crash unit takes people from 50 different agencies. They're so large that they will handle a on-duty squad crash and on-duty anything.
But this unit will not.
But we've decided we will not. In that case, we will call State Patrol. They have their own unit, and in the interest of transparency and keeping things away from the affected agency,
right,
we would turn over that investigation, similar to a officer-involved shooting.
Sure.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Other committee members? One line of questioning that is curious to me. You said it improves work product dramatically. I would assume then the DA is like, ooh, this is good.
They have a member on the board, the MCAT board.
Okay, so they're a co-participant in
this
activity. I think based on the questions that you've had, everybody's excited about it, it sounds like, anyways. So.
We are hugely excited about not only how quickly we get people to these scenes, get them documented and cleaned up, and then the product we get. It's a no-brainer for us to be involved.
Having been in the past close to, my wife was involved in a major accident. More information, better information is a better outcome.
Yeah.
I'll move the resolution.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Questions? All right. We'll move to a vote. So youth and government, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Two ayes. And to the committee members, how do you vote?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I'm just going to stay here.
I gathered. You stand for the next. So we'll move on to item 10, a resolution approving Country Thunder activity control license for 2023. So Captain Clint Cameron.
All right. The time of year has come around again, and it's Country Thunder time.
I'm surprised you didn't introduce it with music, though.
Yeah. Well,
that would be cool.
Next year. See if we can get one of the artists to come.
Kid Rock, I'm going to be a couple.
So, as you all know, last year, Saturday was kind of a disaster because of weather and the number of attendees. So we've really been not very flexible with Project Underwood and their staff this year. We've made numerous demands of them, which they have met, and I think they intend to meet as we go along through this year's Country Thunder. First thing, I don't want to forget to say this, the activity control license is what puts a cap on attendance. In the last years, it said 50,000. So technically, they weren't in violation by having 50,000 people. They have agreed to only sell 30,000 tickets for each night. We want that on the ACL. So last year's ACL said 50,000, and okay, there wasn't much we could do about it, but that was a disaster. The roadways and the festival grounds aren't designed to handle that. And every time I've talked to Country Thunder, and including at the meeting in February, we laid that out, that they will not have that many people. What their consequence will be if they do, I don't know, but we definitely intend to hold them to that. They said they will only sell 30,000 tickets. There's a few new people involved, and I think that they're going to do that. Okay. As far as the grounds go, they've made some modifications. They've modified the VIP seating area in front. They removed the wall. They're adding more space to that. So that's going to be good for us because it gives us more space to maneuver through the grounds there.
They removed the wall?
Yes.
So what's separate?
They're going to have riot fencing. Short riot fencing like we had around here.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Yep. But it's shorter. So people can stand above it, but it won't move. So they brought in a guy. So Ken Weicker,
yep,
was formerly their security guy. He's not doing it this year. Excuse me. So they brought in, let me get you his name from the report, but he handles security for several heavy metal festivals, several NASCAR races.
John Phillips?
Yeah, I think so. Is that AZ Security or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, Access
yeah.
Security.
Yeah. So I met with him. We did a site visit in early May, and he was going around, we need to do this, we need to do that. And he seems to know what he's talking about. Not that Ken didn't, but I think he's part of their crew, so I think they're listening to him.
Good.
So some of the traffic will change. They're going to bring in the campers on the far south side are going to be coming in right there instead of going through the main entrance and crossing across the whole festival ground. That was their idea. Hopefully it's going to work. They're bringing their ticketing farther in, so we're going to try to have less traffic on the road. But if they limit their attendance like they say they are, it's going to be Country Thunder traffic like normal, and we can handle it with the staff. I don't plan to increase any staffing this year because we don't need it unless they have 50,000 people and there's a thunderstorm coming. And I don't project that's going to happen. We've also had issues in the past with what's called Electric Thunder. It's a big tent that they have open till 2 a.m. after the main concerts are, and they would close it. And then you'd have 600 kids lined up to go in that tent.
Yep.
And they would expect us and their security to block that entrance. So you have 600 drunken 21-year-olds, maybe 21-year-olds. And, you know, we had a couple deputies get hurt last year trying to hold people back from that. So they're going to leave that open altogether, so it's going to be free to walk in, walk out. Part of the reason they closed is they didn't have enough security. the new security director is bringing in another security company to handle it. So on top of the normal security, he's augmenting that with 30 more people.
What's to prevent too many people going in that tent if it's just come and go?
I don't project
in the tent? I didn't hear the question. In
what's preventing too many people coming and going out of that
influx
tent?
Influx that, okay. That exceeds capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's huge.
Well, I've been there before. Yeah. I've been in that tent, and even when they had that line of 600 kids outside there, I mean, it's like dangerously full in there. That worries me.
Yeah.
That it's just.
There is a cap on the number of people that are supposed to go in that tent. And typically when it does exceed it, it's only for a very short time, because sitting there and watching the last 10 years of Electric Thunder, they all go in at the end of the concert. 10 minutes later, a third of that crowd is now going back to their campsite. So it may exceed for a short time. Country Thunder will have to deal with that. They can shut the music off and send everybody out.
Are you confident that they will?
I don't know.
Because I mean, if it's okay through the chair, I know it's not your municipality, but from that side of things, if there's a medical or some sort of emergency, I mean, that really worries me that there's no cap. I mean, can you speak to that from an EMS standpoint?
I can't speak to that facility. I don't know. I haven't put eyes on what location you're talking, but most likely if you have 30 security in an event like that and there's an emergency, they're going to be able to get somebody to a safe area.
We've had to go in there on emergencies, mm-hmm. and we haven't had issues. But one thing I forgot to mention is they've opened up two more entrances, long, wide entrances on either side of that. Mm-hmm. So the ability to enter will be a lot easier besides the just one little entrance and two tiny little exits. So their plan is to leave it open, let people freely come and go. And we have, when security says it's getting too full, we have shut it down. But at that point it's easy because there's nobody waiting outside. We just don't allow people to come in.
What exactly is going on in the tent anyway?
It's like a dancing.
Do you want to know?
Well, I'm sort of. I wasn't sure, actually.
You're going to go this year.
No, I'm not.
It's a DJ.
Okay. Yeah.
Country music, yeah. Hip-hop music, DJ.
It's a party inside the party.
A party.
And it's air conditioned.
Right? It's air conditioned.
Air conditioned tent. So when you say, how would we control the capacity?
Of course.
We have shut that tent down because it's too full. And we are able to do that easily. It's the first 10 minutes when the concert ends and their tent's not open and we have to stand in a line and block people from going in because their security isn't authoritative enough to stop coming in.
Sorry to interject out of sequence, but is the fire marshal on facility? Is somebody inspecting and keeping an eye on it and preempting?
Randall Fire is there.
Okay, so they are there to visually say.
Yeah, and there's capacity numbers posted.
Supervisor Rodriguez, you done?
For now, I guess.
Okay. Supervisor Wombolt, or was it Supervisor Decker? I saw another hand. Supervisor Decker.
Do you have a copy of the activity control license that we're supposed to approve so we can see it?
No, it's a certificate in the clerk.
Oh, I think I saw it.
No, that was the cabaret license.
Yeah.
Oh.
It looks like that. We don't do that. I think that goes to the county clerk and she issues it.
Correct, but I know there was an error last year from the CUP that it was supposed to be 30,000 and it got approved to be 60.
50.
I thought the CUP said, or the activity control said 60,000, or did it say 50 last year? Even though it was approved for 30.
Last year's activity control license said 50.
But it was supposed to be 30.
Yes.
How do we guarantee without seeing it?
Oh, I'll guarantee.
Okay.
I will.
Personal guarantee.
Once it gets approved at the county board.
You will double check it?
Yes.
Okay.
But I believe the terms of that, does that come from you? or does it come from us? It
comes from you.
Okay. Well, I will guarantee that says 30,000 on their ACL.
Because all that we, in our resolution that we're approving right now, it says the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors that an activity control license for Country Thunder East be granted to Kim Blevins for the dates of July 19th through July 24th. So that's all we're doing.
Well,
you're in charge of everything else.
I guarantee you.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say I used to be on the Randall Town Board when this came through. I was probably was the first vote approving it, and it has so far come in advance of safety and trying to make sure we're covering as many bases as we can. We know we can't figure out every single issue that goes on. People are people. We know that, but it is so much further ahead than it was back then, for obvious reasons, but I think it's like into a third different promoter now, too.
Yeah.
So it's gotten significantly better. And, you know, unfortunately, people are people and are going to do stupid things. And you can't stop them if they're going to do stupid things. We just wanted to limit those to as much as we can.
So. Can you just go over what, I'm sure most of the equipment that's going to be out there is what's been out there in years past. What is the Sheriff's Department going to deploy out there?
So Country Thunder equips us with carts for the campground assignments, and normally there's 15 or 16 of those carts. That's plenty. We have our pickup trucks, we have our ATVs, we have our side-by-side little UTV, if you want to call it that. We have our command post, we have our camper for report writing. Country Thunder provides us with two tents. We have our investigation vehicle, our rescue squad looking evidence vehicle. That's on the festival grounds. And
you guys are using the Guardian Angel lights or whatever you recently
got?
Yeah,
we purchase those. Everybody working out there on a traffic assignment will have those.
Okay. Are they going to have them on the campgrounds though? Or in the festival grounds? Because that was mentioned too. Okay.
Yeah, we set aside a group of those to assign out there.
Others?
I just want to add one last thing. I trust the Sheriff's Department implicitly. You guys know that. I don't trust Country Thunder, and I don't trust that they're going to keep that tent under control. I know that you guys could shut it down at a moment's notice, but it worries me too much that something bad happens before you know, that leads to it needing to be shut down because of that uncontrolled access. And so I'm not going to support it today. It's not because of you guys. It's because I don't trust Country Thunder and their commitment to keeping things safe and secure, because we've been told that years past.
Well, I will say that we've identified this as a problem the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any changes were made. They have a plan. They have a drawing of the tent. They have a plan to keep it open all the time. That's where the problem comes in. So, as far as what we deal with, if there's a fight in there, we go in there and handle
right.
it. If there's a rescue call in there, which I can't recall one over the past few years, we go in and assist rescue in getting people in or taking them out so rescue can get to them. So,
like I said, it's not because I don't think you guys can do your job. I know you guys can. But I just don't feel comfortable even allowing deputies to be in that position. And so I'm not going to support it. I can't at this point. And if Country Thunder wants to send somebody to the county board meeting to address that, or they want to send us drawings of the tent or what have you, maybe that'll change for me at least. But I just don't like to leave things open to
issue. I think they've taken steps. As long as they follow through, that's the key, is getting them to follow through. And we'll have a site visit and a walkthrough, and I will make sure that it is what they said it is. Or I have the right to say, sorry, you're not having it. So I'm confident that we can handle it. I'm confident that Country Thunder is going to make the change.
Supervisor Rodriguez, you concluded?
Yep.
You're good? Okay. So. May I make a couple quick comments?
Mm-hmm.
As I understand the resolution is focused on empowering or allowing the Sheriff's Department to move forward with the management, oversight, execution of the safety at Country Thunder. The resolution itself is not about Country Thunder's obligations, it's about our expectations and our empowerment to make sure that we're managing it accordingly. So can I ask a couple of questions? One is regarding drug interdiction and other things. Do you maintain detention or some way to respond, detain, and allow your field force, your guys, to stay in the field and active, or do they have to actually leave, drive them all the way downtown? What do you do when you do detain someone?
Well, it depends. Depends on the time of day. If everyone is busy, there's a spot we can keep them in a conveyance vehicle that's air conditioned until we have somebody available to bring them downtown. Okay. If it's egregious enough or they're out of control enough and we need to get them out of there, we'll clear somebody up to take them downtown. And we have traffic units. We have two mobile units in the campgrounds that we can clear out of there to take somebody in custody down to the jail. We can also temporarily hold somebody at Twin Lakes PD. They have a holding cell in a jail.
Single cell or?
It's multiple cells.
So you have capacity if
needed. Yeah, we would have to put a staff member there to watch that person. So we'd have to weigh the benefits of delaying their drive down here, or if it's going to be a half hour and we can't keep them on the grounds, we can bring them there and wait.
Okay. My question goes to, last year right down here, mm-hmm. blocks away,
right.
They had to stop a festival event because of a fight that broke out. And you hear around the country, it seems to be routine, not little cases here and there anymore, it's routine. At every mass event, there seems to be something happening. So if you interdict and then you lose manpower, then you're at a loss for the next opportunity that might happen quickly behind it. So, but I appreciate that. I know you're working hard to make sure you have a broad plan. Second part is with Narcan. Do we keep Narcan on site with officers available? What is the strategy between
all the deputies are issued Narcan? We'll have it at the command post, and in each squad car that's around the site, we'll have.
Does Country Thunder also carry some accountability there, or are they alleviated because we're on site and contracted?
Well, typically we would be the first ones there, and just like a call on the road, their rescue service, during the busy times of the night, their rescue cart, it's a golf cart, or UTV from the fire department, they're back and forth picking people up, and they have it as well.
Okay. ID check, you mentioned maybe 21s. Do we have an accountability to monitor that, or is it
we
trust once they
it.
Have a ticket?
We enforce it by citations.
Okay.
We don't monitor their ID. There's several sites where you get a wristband.
Right.
By showing your ID, so
like at the county fair, it's the same way.
We wouldn't be able to monitor each of those.
No, but
sites.
It's up to them to do the monitoring. But
right.
We do. The reason I asked is I heard last year we did not issue that many citations. Somebody said hearsay, please.
The citations were down last year. We were busy last year. Saturday night there was no time for, Friday Saturday nights are when we typically write our most tickets. I would have to look at the numbers, but Saturday night with everything that happened that night, the deputies didn't have time to self-initiate activity.
Do you have a surge strategy then? Say they go well beyond the 30,000 and I'm expecting they may hit 40,000 just because we didn't know. Maybe not 50, maybe we took 10 off the table. But is there a surge capability?
As far
for
as
us,
our
for,
staffing?
For your deployment, yeah.
We could call people in. We could call other agencies to assist. They're promising me this is not going to happen. I have to go. I have to trust somebody. And I know Mr. Rodriguez doesn't trust them. I think their views have changed. One of them said to me, we're trying to get back to the country music fan. That's what they said. So I think the artists that are there don't draw. The artist on Saturday night last year was a huge, huge draw. I don't think they have that artist this year. So as far as the surge goes, we handled it last year. There were no major disasters. And we'll handle it again if it happens.
I agree with Supervisor Rodriguez. Trust me, the check's in the mail.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you did get the check, I saw.
Supervisor Decker.
Are you going to give tours to county board supervisors that are interested before the concert?
Like before the event starts?
Yeah, yes.
Like on a Wednesday
but like
night?
Wednesday or Thursday?
Sure.
Okay.
I have reached out to the sheriff, and I will follow up with Captain Clint Canberra to figure out what details are associated with that.
And then also, I just want to state that I'm looking forward to rain to water my grass July 15th and July 24th.
It always does. Don't worry about it.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and seconded. Supervisor Decker and Supervisor Nordigan. Any more questions, comments? No more discussion? Yes, sir.
May I interject? I listened to what everybody said, and I understand your sentiment completely. I know we've all had discussions about this, but I can please rest assured. We had a meeting in February. I was there. Captain Klinghammer did not trust Country Thunder. But with the multiple interactions he's had and all the interviews and meetings he's had is why he's got the temperature he has right now. So I trust him imminently. So we went to that meeting very apprehensive. So he spoke his mind at that meeting. We were there. So it was honest.
And Captain Klinghammer said it's the sheriff's. It's online, so he's off the hook. We lost one of the youth in government, but how does youth in government vote?
Aye.
Aye. And to the committee?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
And one against. Motion carries. Captain Klinghammer.
Okay.
Have fun.
Thank
you.
Thanks.
Supervisor Decker said, pray for rain.
Yeah. Is it on?
Have a big event,
so
just bank on it.
County board meeting? Right?
The next one.
Yeah.
That's
where there's that? Thunder, there's lightning. So.
Like the 19th?
The 20th.
That's close.
June? Of June, yes.
Okay.
I didn't hear the question, but that's okay.
Well, we'll see you then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Item 11, any other business allowed by law? Anything?
Question. Next meeting, July 5th. Are we going to have it on the 5th? I'm just asking because I know it's right after the 4th. So
there's a meeting with health service as well, and a lot of things will collide. So I've had a brief conversation with that chair and said it's going to be difficult to get everybody at all the meetings if we all try to produce them at that time.
Right.
I have not talked to the chairman to see what his plans were for the week. Mine would be to be up north watching fireworks, quite honestly. So,
where at?
I have a place in Crivitz.
Okay.
So.
The chairman told me last that he did not plan on having a county board meeting on the 4th.
And that's what I understood as well. So, if you're willing, give me next week to confirm one way or the other,
okay.
And then we'll take a poll on a meeting date if that works for everyone.
Okay.
Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is seconded. Vote.
Someone's to vote yes.
Aye. Youth says aye, and for the committee?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
I'm youthful.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I see.
Youthful.
The question was, is the sheriff going to be out there?
Oh, I did
we typically have
July 4th is a Tuesday, right?
Running into people.
So we bring one up one.
Make sure all the grass.
Unless he moves it to Wednesday, but I can. Or just not have one at all.
No, I think he's probably not going to have one.
Probably not.
No, he's going to have one. A county board meeting, I don't know.
He told me he wasn't planning on having one.
I don't think he's planning on having one.
The 4th of July is my favorite holiday, so. promise you I will not be in the county.
Then we shouldn't have one, because Zach's favorite
holiday. I will not be in the county board chambers on the 4th of July. I'll tell you that right now.
It's a holiday for all the employees.
Yeah, when Country Thunder first started, it was really the wild, wild west.
It was.
It was.
Yeah.
Cash, just, you would want to be there in some of those tents.
No, I don't want to be there.
You would want to be there in some of those tents. With what you would want to be there. Believe me. Take my word, a young single guy.
You're a young single guy?
No.
Listen, don't lead me into temptation.
I was still at that point, I told Mary.
The recorder is still on.
That's okay.
The recorder is still on.
Make sure you repeat that at the party.